Hallelujah. Could we just praise him one more minute? Would that be okay? Oh, Lord, we stand so humbled in your presence. We stand in awe of who you are, Lord. And we lift your name. Doesn't matter who's here, who's not here. You are here among us, and we're so thankful that you grace us with your presence today. And Lord, I just ask your blessing upon this word. I ask your anointing power, Lord, to work through me as I speak these words, and that we receive them with grace and with mercy. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. What a beautiful, beautiful time of worship, Audrey. And when I get into this message, you're going to recognize some things. She stepped out just for a minute, but Audrey, you're going to recognize some things in this message that were very prevalent in the worship service this morning. So earlier this week, the Lord put in my spirit something that I thought was probably an odd subject. I know I say that all the time, but to me it did seem odd and probably nothing new necessarily, but when the Lord speaks forth his voice in any capacity, in the written form, in the spoken form, he said that he sends it forth to accomplish something. And that's what I pray happens this morning, that it meets its mark. And the title of this sermon is A Therapy for a Troubled Mind. And my sermon text is 1 Samuel 16, if you want to turn there. 1 Samuel 16, and we're going to start reading in the 13th verse. Now, I took a little bit of a deviation this morning, and I'm going to be reading this from the King James Version just because I liked the way it spoke this. And then I think in one of the later passages that I'll read, I'll go back to the English Standard Version. So reading verse 13, then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him, David, in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. Stay with me, and we'll get to this in a minute. And Saul's servant said unto him, behold, now an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. Now this, I'm going to stop right here for a minute. This story records that on the same day, there was a transfer of spirits. David was anointed by Samuel with the oil of anointing in preparation for the work and the calling that God had placed upon him. And the Holy Spirit came or rushed upon him, as the commentary said, from that day forward. Now, this was the first of three anointings that David would receive. Obviously, this one was by Samuel. Then the men of Israel anointed him to be king over the northern part of Israel. And then the men of Judah did the same for the southern kingdom. Yet David, in his humility, unlike Saul, was aware that the Spirit of God could depart from him. For in Psalm 51, verse 11, David prayed, cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Now, conversely to David's example, Saul's continued disobedience and rejection of God's laws is what caused him to become a literal warning figure to others. Matthew Henry said, Saul is literally made a terror unto himself. For not only did the Spirit of God depart from him that day, but later in chapter 18, verse 12, we can read that Jehovah himself left Saul. Matthew Henry concluded that if God and his grace do not rule us, sin and Satan will surely have possession of us. Thus the warning figure that Saul became. And that the evil spirit tormenting Saul is a form of judgment that was permitted by God, an illustration of what happens when one resists divine influence. There is debate among scholars as to whether it was an actual demonic spirit or an angelic spirit to whom God gave a special assignment concerning the judgment of Saul. Either way, we know by the scripture that Saul was surely tormented by this spirit, and others around him recognized that it was a spirit of judgment from God, whether it was actually sent by God or permitted by God. So let's go on and read verse 16. Let our Lord, now the Lord here is lowercase, so it's talking about King Saul, now command thy servants. So the Spirit has left Saul, but he is still king for a period of time. Now command thy servants, which are before thee, to seek out a man who is a cunning player on a harp. And it shall come to pass, when the evil spirit from God is come upon thee, that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well. And Saul said unto his servants, provide me now a man that can play well, and bring him to me. Then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing, and a mighty man of valor, and a man of war, and prudent in matters, meaning prudent in business, and a comely person, and the Lord is with him. Now that is quite a resume concerning David and describing him, a young shepherd boy just having been anointed by God. Therefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse and said, send me David thy son, which is with the sheep. And Jesse took an ass, laid it with bread and a bottle of wine and a kid goat, and sent them by David his son unto Saul. And David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly. Saul loved David greatly. And David became Saul's armor bearer. And Saul sent to Jesse, David's father, saying, let David, I pray thee, stand before me, or stay with me here in my service, for he hath found favor in my sight. And it came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took his harp, also called a lyre in some versions, and he played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. Now, Saul's mental and emotional decline manifested itself in anxiousness, harmful depression, and even irrational behaviors. And further, Saul had no control over this spirit, which would periodically come upon him. But do not lose sight of why God allowed this to happen to Saul. It was his own sinfulness and his own rejection of God's laws. Whether or not the spirit was a demonic spirit or an angel with a less than pleasant assignment, it's clear from these two scriptures in chapter 16, verses 11 and 23, that God permitted this to happen in judgment of Saul. Music, though potentially beneficial, can be misused. Matthew Henry cautions against employing distractions like music, diversions, or socializing to mask spiritual anguish or depravity that has not been dealt with before God's redeeming power. True healing comes only through the blood of Christ, which is applied in faith and is sanctified through the Holy Spirit. In summary, spiritual neglect leads to inner turmoil, and the only genuine spiritual restoration of the condition of the soul, that being redeemed by God's power and the blood of Jesus, not superficial remedies, can bring relief. So the two are distinct from one another. The music surely soothed Saul's soul, but we can't use things as a substitute for cleansing our soul through the blood of Jesus. Does it make sense? This is so true. And I want to talk for just a minute about some things that I have seen in my own lifetime regarding the use and the styles and the role that music has played in the church. Because it has swung from the very real, which we experienced this morning, to the very fake entertainment type of worship in many cases. Traditional classic hymns, which I particularly love so much, are 100% scriptural and God-based. They are focused on worshiping the Almighty God. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for our faith in his excellent word. All creatures of our God and King, lift up your voice with us and sing. A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning my song shall rise to thee. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Many of these very traditional, some hundreds and hundreds of years old, songs have swung and even been replaced by the more emotional and Pentecostal style, which we do love, with the lyrics focusing on the Holy Spirit and revival of our hearts and heaven where we will make our eternal home. One might think of the Bill Gaither era. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Come, thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Have thine own way, Lord. Thou art the potter and I am the clay. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through, and my treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. And then another big swing occurred. These songs being replaced by, in many cases, a much more contemporary sound and style of music. Some of the mega churches being responsible for these. Hillsong and Bethel and Maverick City and many, many more. I won't name any more than those. Shout to the Lord. Long, long past now, but a beautiful, beautiful, fairly recent song, not hundreds of years. 10,000 reasons for my heart to sing. Some newer ones, the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after me. Holy forever, I love that song. What a beautiful name it is. And come, Jesus, come. My point is this morning, should churches discard one genre for another just to stay more relevant? Is one genre better loved by God than another? Is one more powerful than another? Is one's focus more spiritual than another? And that's the real question, because you remember, as I said, Matthew Henry said, in paraphrase, it's not the song that matters, but the condition of the heart being truly regenerated by Christ. In Colossians 3:14-16, we read, and above all, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called into one body. And be thankful. And this, verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. There's room for all of it with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Again, that's what matters, not the genre of a song. But I want to tell you, I have seen recently a boldness in recent days of worship leaders and pastors who have become very bold. I said boldness, I mean that. Boldly standing and saying, I'm tired of the entertainment style. I want to go back to worshiping God through words that were directed from the scripture that go straight to the heart of God. And I'm happy to hear that. I heard a man recently give his testimony of how, as a young boy of 12 years old, he asked his pastor dad if he could play the drums in their church. They already had many guitar players, a stand-up bass fiddle player, a pianist, and an organist. But they had no drummer. And this young child told his dad, who was the pastor, Dad, I feel like God is calling me to play the drums. And the dad said, you use your money to buy as much of the set as you can, and I'll help you with the rest. And lo and behold, when he set up his beautiful new drum set, he found that God had given him a gift for playing the drums. But unfortunately, on Sunday morning, some of the church members got their hackles up and they got a little disgruntled and they sold up about the noise of this boy banging on the drums in church. And they tried to get him thrown off the platform by complaining to his father. But the next Sunday, the pastors asked the musicians to come. You can go ahead and come, those who are filling in. One by one, he motioned to them to come to the platform and pick up their instruments and be ready, as he was going to be reading Psalm 150 as his text. Feel free to turn there if you'd like. Psalm 150. It's very short. It says, praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with a trumpet sound. We don't have a trumpet today. Toot-a-doot-a-doo, there's your trumpet sound. And the trumpeter in their congregation would sound the trumpet on a loud note. Praise him with the lute and the harp, and the guitarist and the bassist would play their instruments loudly to be heard. Praise him with the tambourine, and the tambourines would shake and sound by the players. And praise him with the dance, as the dancers would cross the platform, and praise him with the strings and the pipe organ, and they would play loudly. Thank you. And then he called his young son, and he said, son, come up to the platform and take your place at the drums. And it says in verse 5, praise him with the loud sounding cymbals. And again the verse said, praise him with the clashing loud cymbals. Everybody together again. And the young man did as his father instructed him. He said, you could have heard a pin drop in that building. And not once again ever did anyone contradict this young boy with a gift that God had put in his heart to play the drums from taking his place at the drum set. My point is that whatever type of music, whatever instrument, and whatever player level that we have needs to be working for the Lord in the house of God to honor and worship and lift up the praises of the name of our God. Let us never get hung up on methods or genres or any such thing, because of the Word of God teaches us to keep our hearts in tune with him first, most of all, and then use everything around us to praise his name. When your mind may be stressed, play some anointed music. David was anointed to play that harp. And that's why, when Saul's spirit was heavy, the anointing of David's spirit would come out in his hands, and he would play that beautiful music, and it would soothe that heart of Saul. He was good at his craft, but he was anointed by the Holy Spirit. And if we offer what we have to God, he will provide the anointing. Amen? Amen. Amen. I think it's good preaching myself. We all have our favorite types and sounds and instruments, I'm sure. But when you need something from God in your spirit, seek out a spirit-filled source and let it minister life to your soul and be therapy to a troubled mind. I've told you before, after the Lord took my husband home to heaven, I was so lost. 46 years of being together, sometimes more together than I bargained for, But 46 years is a long time to get used to someone by your side at all times. And I had a lot of time to fill. A lot of troubled mind and times to fill. And I turned to two sources on YouTube that I listen to still to this day. One was a beautiful redheaded girl. She was raised in a very, I would call it a Bapticostal church. The Baptist, her dad and grandpa were Baptist preachers, but they were shouting people. And she plays so beautifully, and I've taken some lessons from her. She's so good. And then she introduced the most precious man, pianist. His name was Briley, B-R-I-L-E-Y, and he had a channel. It's still there, and it's still very active on YouTube, called At the Bench with Briley. Evan, this would be a great time to pull that up. And he had a very, just, he was a CPA. He has now gone on to be with the Lord. But the musical talent was great, but the anointing of God was tremendous. And he would play songs that I love, standard hymns of the church, some of the newer stuff, some of Bill Gaither, and then even some of the new stuff. And it just poured balm and salve into my spirit, and it helped me to heal. And now, still to this day, as I'm preparing these messages to deliver to you, I turn on his music and I let that anointing flow through him. Still in heaven, but the music comes through and it's been anointed and the Spirit of God is on it. And it soothes my soul and it helps to energize my spirit. It brings verses back to my mind and it just helps me flow to get these messages put together for the Lord. That's him playing now. His mother is, I think, 95 or 96. She's a tiny little lady, but boy, is she a powerhouse of the Spirit of God. And she plays also, not nearly with the degree of expertise that he does, but boy, does she enjoy herself when she plays. Would you stand with me this morning? Lord, we are so thankful and so humbled in your presence. That even when we have a troubled mind, Lord, you've made beautiful music that will help us, as it did Saul. And oh, we know and we recognize, and help us never to lose sight of, that it is the condition of our heart that is most important. And that if we keep that where it needs to be, focused on you, the rest will take care of itself. Lord, I ask that you would lead each one to that particular place of music, Lord, that you would inspire for them individually to listen to and be encouraged by and be lifted up by, and by which they can worship you from the depths of their soul. I truly mean it this morning, Lord, that this would be a tool of therapy for troubled minds in this day. Father, I ask that you go with each one. I ask, Lord, for your healing touch to begin today to heal our brother, and that he see day by day by day an improvement, a healing, a better breathing, a better energy, a better everything, Lord, as you bring healing power to his body. Let it be birthed here among us, and we give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Just give him thanks this morning. He's such a great God. Such a great God. If you have a favorite song this morning you'd like to make known, I'd like to hear what it is. I know I've told you before, I love Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Anyone have a favorite that you'd like to make known? I couldn't hear you. What a friend we have in Jesus. Amen. He never leaves us, never forsakes us. Anyone else? Audrey. Evan, turn it down a bit now because I can't hear. Oh, yes, I love that too. It's hard, but I love it. Don, you had your hand up?
I wouldn't say it's a favorite, but a special one that I really like. It's hard to name a favorite, but I like
yeah.
I Praise You by Carmen.
Yes, I love that too. Claire. I love that one too. I love them all and all genres. And well, there is one I don't like. You guys all know I don't like I'll Fly Away. I just can't get into that song, but other people love it, so be it. Anyone else want to share your favorite? Well, then consider yourself dismissed and thank you for being here. God bless you, everyone. I am the pot.